highest king would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love.
Let's go. This morning, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you, Lord God. Father, as we worship you, we just invite your presence to be enthroned in the praises of your people. Father, for our congregation who's out there, Lord God, who might be struggling with sickness or pain, whoever they are, Lord God, I pray that your anointed presence would come down upon them as we worship you together, Lord God. Let your healing anointing flow this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.
Still in your hands. And I never will forget. You've never failed me yet. And I never will forget.
We receive.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and we'll get into God's word this morning. Father, we love you and praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we study your word this morning, we pray you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. Anoint us to deliver your word accurately and precisely. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. And that'd be page 1572 if you've got a Bible like mine. That's kind of a joke at our church. Most of the people at our church have a Bible like the one I use. That doesn't mean it's the only Bible you can use. It just means that's the one I kind of like. And so it's easier if some of the congregation has a Bible like mine. I could tell them what page to help them out. Amen. You know, we live in a time and a moment in time, a very historical time. If Jesus tarries 100 years from now, the time we're living in is going to be in the history books. This coronavirus. And you know, I was watching, different people have sent me several links of prophecies and people discerning the times. And I think that is absolutely important for the church. I'm not diminishing the prophet's ministry at all. Okay? And I too thought this morning that I might go down that prophetic path in this message. And how many of you know I try to be led by the Spirit of God? I don't always do that, and that's usually when I flop. But I felt like God tugging at me. You know, I read a Bridges for Peace teaching that talked about righteousness and peace, and God began to deal with my heart, and I began to ask the question, what is righteousness? How is it connected to peace? How is it connected to joy? Because I believe what God was telling me was, you know, in this trying hour, the righteous of God need to be able to have peace and joy. So what does it mean to be righteous? And the Apostle Paul here in Romans 14, I believe that this is not an accident. I believe that Paul is going to say righteousness, peace, and joy, and that they are connected to each other. Now it's going to take us a couple weeks to finish this message, but here's part one of righteousness, peace, and joy. Paul says, I know and am convinced, this is verse 14, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. There's an interesting dynamic that's going on within the church at Rome, a small church at Rome, and they are made up of Jew and Gentile believers. And the Jews come out of a tradition, a biblical tradition, of eating kosher, certain foods they did not eat. The Gentiles are being saved, filled with the Spirit. They are coming into the kingdom of God also, but they're coming out of a tradition or a background that was non-kosher. So where there were things that they would eat that the Jewish people wouldn't eat. And so there must have been some schism or some division going on between the Jewish believers in Yeshua and the Gentile believers in Yeshua at this church at Rome. And it was causing some division, and Paul is addressing that. Paul says, I don't think there's anything that's unclean of itself. It's only unclean if you say it's unclean, if you believe it's unclean. So for the Jews, there were certain foods that they believed were unclean. So for them, they were unclean. For the Gentiles, there were certain foods that they believed that they could eat, that the Jews didn't believe they could eat. And so Paul's trying to get to this schism. He's saying, listen, don't trip up your buddy by the food you eat. Your brother, not buddy, your brother. Don't be waving it in front of him. Amen? And so he goes on to say In verse 17, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Paul seems to be hinting at a progression of righteousness, obtaining righteousness, then obtaining peace and joy. I want you, if you would, to turn with me over to Psalms 34. Psalm 34. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 34, verse 15. And this is page 712. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." Wow. "And his ears are open to their cry." According to the psalmist, God sees and God listens to the righteous. So if God sees and he listens to the righteous, then it would seem to me it would be really in our best interest to fully understand the word righteous or righteousness. Somebody say amen or oh me. Now, I want to know what this word means. The first step in finding a concrete meaning of a word is to find the context in which it is being used. You know, in Bible hermeneutics, the science of studying the Bible, I always say the first law and the last law of Bible hermeneutics is context rules. You know, a lot of Jewish words have multiple meaning. So how do you understand what the meaning is? I'll give you an example. It's in Psalms 8 where the Bible talks about where the psalmist is looking at all the great wonder of creation. And he says, you know, compared to all this creation, he says, "God, your mind is on this weak and frail Enosh, man." And he says, "Your mind is on this creation, your creation, man, so much so that our King James Bible says that you visited the Ben Adam, or the son of man." So the word for visited there in Hebrew is pagad, P-A-Q-A-D. Best way it's spelled. You might see it spelled differently. That drives me crazy. You look at one Hebrew lexicon or one word study book, and they'll spell a Hebrew word differently than the other one. So, pagad, we'll spell it P-A-Q-A-D, all right? Pagad can be translated visit, like you went to visit a friend, right? Right now with this coronavirus, that's not advised. We're not supposed to be hanging out together. We've got this social separation, but thank God for all the technology we had, because I can be with you this morning in your home because of this technology. We call it live streaming on the internet. Amen. Some people used to think it was all this technology was evil, but now we're using it for good. Amen. So, where was I at? I lost my train of thought. We want to look at what this word means. If God listens to the righteous, it'd be best our interest to understand the word. Oh, I know what I was talking about. Pagad. I was giving you that example. So it's translated many times as visit. But here, it doesn't make any sense that God is so mindful of his creation that he went and visited the Ben Adam, the son of man, which is, I think, a reference to Messiah. Okay. Now, what's interesting about this word pagad is it can be translated strike, to strike. I think a better rendering of that translation in the King James is that God was so mindful of this weak and frail man that he struck the Ben Adam. What do you mean he struck him? Well, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon the Messiah, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. Amen. And later on in that passage of scripture, it says it pleased the Father to bruise him. Why? Because his mind and his heart was on his creation, man. God was using the Ben Adam, the Son of Man, to reconcile us back to him. Amen. So with that said, many Hebrew words have multiple meanings, so you've got to look at the context. Now, some Hebrew words are abstract, as are many, many Greek words. There's no real concrete meaning. For instance, our word here for righteousness or righteous is tzaddik. We translate it righteous or righteousness. But on its own, righteous or righteousness is kind of abstract, right? It doesn't have a concrete meaning. So we're going to go on a little journey to find this concrete meaning of righteous. Now, I'll give you an example of another word. The word Barak is usually translated as bless. So bless is kind of, that's kind of another abstract word. Really doesn't carry a concrete meaning. So what we have to do is we have to look in the text to find where the word is used, where it's used in a way that gives us a concrete meaning. For example, in Genesis 24:11, you don't have to turn there. Genesis 24:11, Barak is translated as kneel. It's when the servant of Abraham went looking for a bride for Isaac, and when he got his camels to the well where they would soon meet his new bride, meet Isaac's new bride, it says that the camels, Barak, the word Barak is used in Hebrew, but it's translated to kneel. So to kneel gives us a concrete meaning of this word Barak. Amen. We're looking for the concrete meaning of tzaddik. All right. Righteous. Now, so we found our concrete meaning of Barak. Now, glory to God. Now we're going to continue. There's another method that we can use to help us find our concrete meaning of tzaddik. The second method is to compare its use in Hebrew poetry, where words are commonly used in parallel with words that have similar meaning. For instance, if you turn with me to Psalms 32:11. All right? Psalms 32:11. Let's read it. It says, "Be glad in Yahweh, and rejoice, you righteous, you tzaddik, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Now, you will see righteous and upright used together or in parallel in several scriptures in your Bible. So, what does upright mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Upright, or yashar, is translated as upright in the sense of straight paths or way. Okay? So really, upright is kind of abstract in itself. Okay? So, but if we look in Jeremiah 31, we'll get that concrete meaning of straight path. Jeremiah 31, page 1002. Jeremiah 31:9. Glory to God. It says, They shall come with weeping and with supplications. I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Right here in Jeremiah 30:39, the word yashar, that we translate sometimes upright, is translated as straight paths. God, in this passage of Scripture, God's talking about bringing Jews back into the land of Israel. How many know he's done that and he's still doing it? He's reestablishing Israel as a nation. And he says he's going to cause them to walk by rivers of water and in a straight way or in straight paths, which they shall not stumble. So our concrete meaning for Yashar here is straight paths. Now, another method we can use, so we're looking at parallel words, right? We looked at upright. Upright is used many, many times. This word Barak, or this word Yashar, meaning upright, is used many times in the scripture with Sadiq, or righteous, or righteousness, in parallel, okay? And I want you to understand this. Because righteous is kind of abstract, we're looking for a concrete meaning, right? Something we can sink our teeth into. So we had to look hard, but we found this word Yashar, which means straight paths. That's going to be important to our meaning of righteous or righteousness here in just a second. Okay? A third way we can study the concrete meaning of the word or search it out that is still in the Hebrew poetry, Hebrew poetry often uses antonyms or words of opposite meaning. And that will help us understand the meaning of righteousness. If you turn with me to Psalms 37, and we are going to read a lot of Psalms 37 today. But right now we're just going to look at verse 17, page 715, if you've got a Bible like mine. And you will see this word for wicked, rasha. You'll see it and righteous is used in parallel in several Bible verses. And rasha is normally translated wicked, okay? So, if we look here in verse 17, it says, "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous." The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Psalms 18 real quick. Psalms 18, we'll come back to 37. Praise God. Psalms 18. I probably got you thoroughly confused right now, but hang in there. Verse 21 says, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." Now, so while wicked is kind of abstract, a definition of rasha or wicked, a concrete meaning, is to depart. Depart from what? Depart from the ways of God. You with me? So, where's that verse at? Where did I go? I was in 21. "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." Let's go to verse 20. "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord." So he's talking about righteousness and keeping the ways of the Lord. Here's our concrete definition. Our concrete definition of righteous or righteousness is a righteous person is a person who walks in the ways of God, follows the straight paths or the way of God. Amen? What's happened in America? What's happened in America? We have strayed from the path of God. We have went down, we have departed, we have become wicked and departed from the ways of God. I know I beat this horse all the time, but the greatest example is 70 million babies being aborted since abortion's been claimed legal. You can make it legal, but you know, making abortion legal, but they can't legislate making abortion morally right. Because the God we serve is a God of life, not a God of death. Amen? And if I'm going to say I am righteous, and a lot of Christians say I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm gonna talk about that in a minute. You know, just because you prayed a prayer and you ask God to forgive you doesn't mean you're not required. You're not required now to walk in a certain way. You are required. Listen, you traded, when you were born again, you traded in your righteousness, which the Bible describes as filthy rags. And now, you are, Paul uses this term over and over, you are now in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Messiah Jesus. Outside of Jesus, your righteousness is as filthy rags. I like to say it this way. When I said yes to Jesus, he took off my righteous robes, which was as filthy rags, and he placed upon me his righteous robe. So now I am in Jesus. I am in his righteousness. Every time God looks at me, he sees me through the lens of Jesus' righteousness, and he sees you. But just because we have now donned those robes of righteousness does not allow us or give us a free pass. Now that we are in right standing with God, and that's what most Christians will tell you. If you ask them what righteousness means, they will tell you that it means right standing with God. And I will not argue that. You are in right standing with God if you are in Messiah Jesus. I'm in right standing, but you know what? God has placed me. Jesus, through his blood, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has placed us in him. We are now standing in his righteousness. He has taken us, we were enemies of God, and he has reconciled us back to God and put us in a place where now we can follow after God, where we can now take the straight path. Where now we can be righteous. Our nation needs to get back to that place where we're following after the path of God and not the path of humanism. What do I think of this coronavirus? Not much. Do I think it could be God's judgment? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I think God can get good out of it? Absolutely. I think there may be many people. It could be, we could be on the threshold of a great awakening. We proved at 9/11, give us a crisis, we'll turn back to you, O God. After 9/11, that next Sunday morning, statistics say that church attendance across America was up 300%. The next week, it was down to 150%. And by the third week, it was back to normal. So we don't really need a scare tactic to get us back in church. What we need is a revival. And possibly, God could use this pandemic as a way to get people to begin to look to him again, to get us back in right standing again, in order that we could, you know, in 3 weeks, not go back to our old ways, but that we can be filled with his spirit and begin to study his word and begin to walk in right paths. Oh, glory to God. Let me show you something. In Psalms 23, you know, you hear me say it all the time. You know, there were some politicians a long time ago, but it ain't been that long ago, that said the Bible has not kept up with the standards of the world. I would argue with them and tell them, no. It's not that the Bible hasn't kept up with the standards of society. It's that society has not kept up with the standards of the Word of God. Men should not sleep together with other men. Women should not sleep together as other women. And we should not be murdering the innocent babies in wombs. And for goodness sakes, I don't know how any, it is evil to think that a woman could go full term, give birth to a child, and they could still kill it after it come out of the womb alive. Don't ask me. I can't fathom. I can't, I can't fathom how evil that is. Look here in Psalms 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Now watch. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Glory to God. But notice what it says. "Now that I'm in beside Jesus, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in me. He wants to lead me in paths of righteousness. He wants me to follow him and follow his way." It begins with following Jesus. It begins with accepting Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And once Jesus enters our heart, we are on that path to follow him. So, we started with the premise or the idea that God's eyes, or he sees the righteous, and his ear is listening to the righteous. So we must understand what righteousness means. It's not simply just in right standing because you're saved. Certainly that's part of it. But now that I'm saved, if I'm going to be a righteous person, I'm walking, living my life, following his path. What's that mean? That I'm living my life according to the word of God, not my own will or my own fleshly desires. Amen? But I'm governed by the word of God. I'm living my life according to the word of God. Let me ask you this. When you were in the world, before Jesus came into your life, before you started serving God, did you have any true peace? No. No, I didn't. I was miserable. It wasn't until I was reconciled back to God and began to walk with God that I had true peace in my life. But we'll save mostly peace for next week, peace and joy for next week. Let's finish our thoughts on righteousness. Turn with me now to Psalms 37. Let's go back to Psalms 37. Hallelujah. We're going to read this whole psalm, and we're going to cherry pick the high points, especially the parts that speak of the righteous of God. Verse 1. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." You know, I was studying this and I thought of this coronavirus and I thought, you know what? Use wisdom, but don't fret over it. Don't fret over it, because it too will wither like the grass. God will see to that. Verse 3. "Trust in Yahweh and do good." See, even in the midst of this pandemic, we need to trust God. I mean, you know what? I trust our president. I trust the people that's working on this pandemic. I do trust them. I think they're doing their best. But you know, ultimately, we're going to overcome this with God's help. And he's the one whom I have the utmost trust in. Well, you just said you trust the president. I trust the president because the Bible tells me all authority comes from God. And I believe God's hand is on this president. But my ultimate trust is in God. The psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Be righteous." That's what a righteous person does. They follow the path of God and they do good. So during this time of epidemic, trust God And if you can help somebody out, help them out. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Glory to God. Trust him. Feed on his faithfulness. Let the Holy Spirit find scriptures that talk about God's faithfulness and feed on that faithfulness. Don't feed on that fear that's being broadcast on some of these TV networks. Drives me crazy. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, many people stop right there. Oh, delight in God. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. Well, wait a minute. Verse 5, there is a qualifier. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the new day. Excuse me. Glory to God. So the qualifier for God to give me the desires of my heart is to commit your way to the Lord. That straight path. To trust in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. There's that warning again. Don't fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek, the humble, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Glory to God. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. God is going to uphold the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who are walking according to his path, according to his word, and according to his will. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay. The righteous shows mercy and gives. You know, I've seen a lot of people giving and helping people out in this situation. Glory to God. Praise his mighty name. So the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. But those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. We're back to that path again. We're back to following God's way. During this pandemic, you've still got to follow God's way, because if you do, you are considered righteous, and he will uphold you. The government's not the answer. They may be a tool that God uses to help defeat this pandemic, but your faith and trust has got to be in God. You've got to continue to follow his way. It says in verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Whoa, hallelujah. Glory to God. I couldn't find any bread the other day at the grocery store. I had a pound of fresh sliced beef bologna and a fresh pound of sliced Colby cheese, and there wasn't a loaf of bread in sight. I had a tomato, I had lettuce, I had a sweet Vidalia onion, but I couldn't get a piece of bread anywhere. I finally went into a store called Piggly Wiggly, and I found one loaf of bread called Shepherd's Bread. It's called Shepherd's Bread, I believe, because it's made with barley. And the shepherds were some of the poorest of the people, so barley was the poor people's bread in biblical times. So I said, well, I'm going to get that. It was a big old loaf. I had to slice it myself. It was a big old loaf. And I bought that shepherd's bread and ate my beef bologna and Colby cheese sandwich with tomato, lettuce, and lots of Miracle Whip. I'm not a mayonnaise eater. I eat Miracle Whip. And a slice of that sweet onion. Two slices. Man, it was good. I'm getting hungry. Maybe keep on going. My point is, it says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches and the righteous. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Verse 37, mark the blameless man and observe the upright. Remember what upright means? Straight path. That upright person's on that straight path of God. For the future of that man is what? Peace. If I'm a righteous man, if I am someone who is following the path of God, my inheritance is going to be peace. Even in the time of a pandemic. We go on here to read verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation, the deliverance of the righteous is from Yahweh. He is their strength in time of trouble. I would say this pandemic is a time of trouble. So for the righteous, our strength is not going to come from the doctor, the lawyer, or the government official. Our strength is going to come from God. Yahweh, the all-powerful, creative, covenant-keeping God. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. We will come through this pandemic, church, because we are walking according to the ways of God, and we are considered righteous. We are trusting in him, and he will bring us through. Amen. I look forward to the day that we can come here together and worship corporately with God. Amen. With each other and with God. If you're not right with God right now, if there's some things in your life you need to ask God to forgive, by all means, this is a good time to do it. Just ask God to forgive you and bring you back into his house, back into right standing with him. If you need healing in your body, we're trusting God today that God will touch your body to deliver you from the pain or any sickness. If you're someone who works in healthcare, who's on the front lines, We just pray that God will protect you and watch over you. And once again, I pray, Lord, whatever the need of these your people, whether it's spiritual, physical, financial, or emotional, your word says you would supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're trusting in you, Lord, to meet every need that we have. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. Everybody said, amen. We love you all, and I trust you will be blessed. If you need anything, do not hesitate to get a hold of Terry or Wilma or myself. We will try to make sure you get what you need. God bless you all. Until Wednesday, I'll talk to you again.